Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 to 25, preparations for the new Passover. The Passover feast was prepared. That's what we want to look at first. Chapter 26, verse 17, down to verse 19. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover lambs were killed in the morning, and that evening the Passover meal was eaten. The Feast of Unleavened Bread followed immediately after Passover. So the entire time was often referred to either as the Passover or as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Therefore, the first day refers to the Passover itself. A certain man, Mark and Luke say they could identify the man because he would be carrying a pitcher of water. Mark chapter 14, verse 13. And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." So his disciples went out, came to the city and found it just as he said it to them, and they prepared the Passover. Jesus made those arrangements earlier, possibly to prevent his premature betrayal. Had Judas known ahead of time where the meal was to be eaten, he could alert the chief priests and the elders. And his instructions were specific: "Tell the man, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at your house." Jesus was in total control of all the details of his own crucifixion. Second, the Passover fellowship was purified. Look at verse 20. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to them, "You have said it." The table conversation is interesting to note. The usual subject of discussion at that meal was the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. Why was it different this time? The Passover that the annual feast pointed to was ready to be offered, and that overshadows old rituals. Jesus began by telling his disciples one of them would betray him. Christ knew. We have no idea what problems will come into our lives, when they will occur or how they'll arrive, but Jesus knows. He did not shy away from it. He foresaw the treachery from one of his own and continued to include the very one who would betray him, Judas. Before he told them that he would be betrayed, now he lets them know it will be one of them. How did they take it? Well, it bothered them to hear that Jesus would be betrayed, and even more, that one of them would do it. Each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" They did not suspect Judas. They suspected themselves. Lord, is it I? Wow. You know, the formula for observing the Lord's Supper includes instruction for self-examination. Is it I? And then to eat of that bread and to drink of that cup. Jesus answers them with more information. The traitor was a familiar friend. He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. One of you that are now with me at this table. And that would be a serious matter for the traitor. Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. This was for the conscience of Judas, repentance, and a warning to all others to take seriously sinning like Judas. Although God serves his own purposes at times by the sins of men, that does not make the sinner's action any more acceptable. Was Judas convicted? He asked, is it I? No, he was not convicted at this point. He was only trying to avoid the suspicion of guilt by his silence. He knew that it was him. He knew what he had planned. Many people whose consciences condemn them are creative in justifying themselves before others to put on a good face. He had to know that Jesus knew, and yet he trusted in his ability to conceal it. He even publicly challenged Jesus' knowledge. Jesus answered Judas' phony question. You've said it. If Judas' heart had not been so hardened, he might have responded. Be careful not to allow your sinful temptations to go to the place of no return, even under conviction of the Holy Spirit. Confess where you are and more toward the Lord, seeking his forgiveness. Give that some thought, and you have a great day.